More bad employment news is about to break in Wichita. Iran claims success in launching its first satellite. And ALPA chews out the FAA for lack of progress on bird strikes. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, February 4th, 2009. Wichita, Kansas is seeing its share of recession-related layoffs. Local media say a major layoff announcement is coming soon from Hawker Beechcraft. KAKE-TV News reports the number is somewhere around 2,700 workers, citing anonymous management sources within the company as differing on the exact number. Hawker Beechcraft worker Russell Booth told the station, quote, "We're just hearing that we're supposed to find out something either Thursday or Friday of this week. They'll give us some numbers," unquote. CEO Jim Schuster told workers in a November 4th memo the company needed to cut about 5% of its workforce. That would be 490 positions, just shy of the 500 that would trigger provisions of the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act that would mandate 60-day notices and an extra 2 months' pay for displaced workers. The predicted new round of layoffs would exceed 500 by a wide margin, but could also require the company to extend the benefits to any workers laid off in the past 90 days. For that reason, among others, don't look for an official announcement before Friday, which would be 91 days past the earlier layoffs. We'll keep you posted over the weekend with updates in text form at aero-news.net. The National Transportation Safety Board started a four-day public hearing yesterday on the safety of helicopter emergency medical services operations following a recent spike in EMS accidents. The NTSB will hear from numerous witnesses who deal with all elements of operations. Matt Zaccaro, president of the Helicopter Association International and co-chair of the International Helicopter Safety Team, is one of three keynote witnesses who opened the hearing with individual presentations. Zaccaro reportedly wants to discuss mandatory use of night vision goggles in all IFR operating environment, study of fatigue factors, promotion of risk aversion versus risk exposure, client education, non-punitive safety reporting environments, and implementation of safety management systems. The hearings are being held in Washington, D.C., but you can find a link to watch them on the web at the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Iran claims to have launched its first satellite into low Earth orbit Monday evening, marking the 30th anniversary of the 1979 overthrow of the Shah and the start of the Islamic Revolution. Reuters reports Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad called the satellite a source of pride. The small telecom satellite is dubbed OMID, or Hope, and has apparently already completed its primary mission to transmit a message from Ahmadinejad. State-run media call OMID another achievement for Iranian scientists under sanctions and stress the satellite was constructed entirely by Iranian technicians. Officials in the U.S. confirmed the launch but said OMID is relatively low-tech. The West is more concerned about the long-range rocket that was used to launch the satellite. With the topic of bird strikes top of mind following the miracle on the Hudson, the Airline Pilots Association is taking the FAA to task for dragging its heels on developing avian radar and other measures to mitigate the risks to aircraft posed by birds. The Associated Press reports it's been 10 years since the NTSB recommended the FAA develop a radar system to allow pilots to avoid birds. The FAA responds that the technology is years away from being able to accurately provide altitude, which is needed along with bearing and distance to properly warn pilots. Rory Kay, a Boeing 767 captain, is safety chairman of the Airline Pilots Association. He complained to reporters at a Monday press conference, quote, "That is not a satisfactory time frame," unquote. FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown tells AP the effort can't be rushed, quote, "When you operate in a commercial environment, you have to have a very high level of reliability. In many cases, these systems take time to tune to the reliability we need," unquote. Up next on ANN, Virgin America finally releases its financials to the DOT. Bombardier makes WAZ available for some legacy Learjets. And Britain returns to normal after a winter storm. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 4th. I'm Paul Plagg. Virgin America finally caved to the U.S. Department of Transportation yesterday and released the company's financials for the fourth quarter of 2007 and the first three quarters of 2008. As expected by analysts, they show an overall operating loss. However, losing $175 million in the first three quarters of 2008 on operating revenues of about $260 million isn't too shabby for a brand new airline competing in a tough market and a slumping economy. Virgin America also achieved a respectable 77.6% load factor in the second quarter of 2008 and pushed it to 81.4% in the third quarter, showing growth which should translate to higher revenues down the line. CEO David Cush commented, quote, "This is an industry with very high startup costs and where large first-year losses are common. We're confident in our business model and are in a strong position as a well-financed startup with solid revenue growth and load factors, a modern fuel-efficient fleet, a maturing route network, and award-winning service the public has embraced," unquote. Virgin America had fought the DOT to avoid releasing the financial data, arguing the airline is privately held and the information competitively sensitive. Bombardier Aerospace announced yesterday it is now offering a wide-area augmentation system-capable flight management system on Learjet 40XR and 45XR planes. The new system is available through a supplemental type certificate and will also be an option on new aircraft. The system is sourced from Universal Avionics Systems Corporation and can be installed at all Bombardier Aerospace service centers. Operators should contact their Bombardier regional managers for more details. Compounding the general economic slowdown, heavy snows across eastern Britain Monday shut down education and commerce for millions, with economists estimating losses to the economy as high as $5 billion U.S. As Tuesday's sunshine allowed airline, bus, and rail service to resume, British Chambers of Commerce Director General David Frost told CNN his country needs better planning to mitigate freak weather. Quote, "We shouldn't just buckle to it," unquote. Stephen Alambridis of the Federation of Small Businesses agreed, quote, "One of the world's biggest economies should not be grinding to a halt," unquote. London got over 10 inches of snow through Monday. All buses were canceled. All buses and some airline flights were canceled, and even underground train services were severely disrupted. An estimated 1 in 5 workers stayed home from work Monday, many to care for children whose classes had been canceled. Some schools remained closed on Tuesday, and forecasters were concerned that snow, which would melt and refreeze overnight, would cause more problems for transportation this morning. At London Heathrow, runways were cleared and operations reportedly generally on time yesterday, but officials acknowledged some delays for de-icing of aircraft. It's not often we hear of NIMBYs and airport management as allies, but the Burbank-Glendale-Pasadena Airport Authority, which operates Bob Hope Airport, is asking the FAA to impose a 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. curfew on even the quietest Stage 3 jets, forcing them to use other airports in the region at night. The Los Angeles Times reports the airport has been criticized for a sort of noise pollution shell game, which would simply displace its nighttime flights to Van Nuys, LAX, Ontario, Long Beach, and Whiteman airports. But the authority's request to the FAA cites an 8-year, $6 million study, which finds only about 35 flights per night would be affected. Critics say any benefits to the residents of Burbank, Glendale, and Los Angeles, including higher home valuations, would be offset by additional costs for residents near alternate airports. The FAA will have 180 days in which to consider the request. Still ahead, a C-17 belly flops in Afghanistan. Google Earth adds coverage of Mars. And being a hero could pay off for Captain Sullenberger. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, February 4th. I'm Paul Plack. Those who have and those who will. The crew of a U.S. Air Force C-17 Globemaster III has joined the ranks of the former, although it's not yet clear whether the gear-up landing January 30th at Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan was equipment failure or human error. The Air Force Times reports the Globemaster's crew escaped uninjured, but the incident did spark a small fire. There was significant damage to the plane's belly. The C-17 was assigned to Charleston Air Force Base in South Carolina. The Friday night incident closed the runway at Bagram, but operations resumed on Saturday. The Air Force will investigate. If you're thinking Google Earth is the coolest high-tech toy ever, just wait. On Monday, NASA and Google announced the release of a new Mars mode in Google Earth that brings to everyone's desktop a high-resolution, three-dimensional view of the red planet. The mode enables users to fly virtually through enormous canyons and scale huge mountains on Mars that are much larger than any found on Earth. Users can also see Mars through the eyes of rovers and other Mars missions. You can also view some of the latest images from NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter and other probes. The Mars mode is the latest fruit born of an agreement NASA signed with Google in November of 2006. Under its terms, NASA and Google agreed to collaborate to make NASA's datasets available to the world. You know, at his current rate, rocker Tommy Lee may leave this world remembered more for juvenile stunts than for his music. Fox News cites info from TMZ.com. In reporting, Los Angeles police forced a helicopter transporting the former Motley Crue drummer to land at Van Nuys Regional Airport Sunday. The LAPD claims Lee's helicopter flew underneath and too close to one of its police helicopters. Police say they found pilot David Martz at a nearby hotel about 10 minutes after the forced landing. Police believe Martz had been drinking, if not before or during the flight, then immediately after. So far, they think Tommy was just a passenger. If the name David Martz rings a bell, it may be from a 2006 incident in which he landed a helicopter at Lee's home in the Hollywood Hills twice to ferry Lee and his entourage to a Nine Inch Nails concert. That stunt ticked off his neighbors and violated city statutes. But Lee doesn't always break the rules. In 2004, when the L.A. fire marshal told Motley Crue that the band could not land a helicopter at the Hollywood Palladium for a concert, the members complied and arrived instead in a hearse. And finally, U.S. Airways Captain Chesley Sullenberger, or Sully to his friends, seems to have kept a cool head through all the hoopla which followed his successful water landing of Flight 1549 on the Hudson River. Sullenberger has been a model of modesty and class and has pretty much shunned the media spotlight. Sir Richard Branson, on the other hand, is known for brash marketing and seeking the spotlight. He's even found a way to capitalize on the miracle on the Hudson, even though he wasn't there and his airline wasn't involved. The Los Angeles Times Entertainment blog reports Branson recently made a very public offer to recruit Sullenberger to fly for his Virgin Atlantic. He told a reporter with the New York Daily News, quote, "We'll make him the best paid pilot at Virgin. We'll give him double anybody else. He also can become one of the astronauts in my intergalactic spaceship company. The man can write his own ticket with me," unquote. Upon hearing that news, Sullenberger proved he may be shy, but he's no fool. Quote, "That's amazing. I hadn't heard that. I will be happy to entertain all the things that are coming my way," unquote. The 1549 crew is showing signs of emerging from its shell. Sullenberger has granted CBS News an exclusive interview later this week. And on Sunday, he and his crew received a thunderous ovation during the pregame festivities at the Super Bowl in Tampa, Florida. One thing is for sure, if you're going to be one of the early guinea pigs on Virgin Galactic, it sure would be comforting to look into the cockpit and see Sully up there. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with 2008 National CFI of the Year, Max Trescott, about his recent TV appearance as an expert commentator on the Miracle on the Hudson, and what we should all know before the media approaches us. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.